Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
The Antiguan Prime Minister realizes that getting herd immunity is not an easy task. And more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup, coming right up. The Major Crime Unit of St. Lucia's Royal Police Force is investigating a stash of guns and ammunition recovered last Thursday. HTS News Force reports.
St. Lucia Police, during an operation in the south of St. Lucia on Thursday, the 4th of November, reportedly recovered 20 firearms and over 100 rounds of ammunition. The weapons recovered included one Uzi submachine gun and 13 handguns, which included 2.40 revolvers and 11 9mm semi-automatic pistols. Authorities also confiscated 6 AR-15 rifles and 139 rounds of ammunition. This included 50 9mm rounds and 89 5.56mm rounds. The Major Crime Unit of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force is conducting investigations into this matter.
In the Bahamas, two people have been arrested in connection with the death of a child. The police have confirmed that a man and a woman are in custody in connection with the death of a 4-year-old girl. The police say they have launched an investigation into the suspicious death, which occurred on Friday. The child taken to hospital was said to be unresponsive and later succumbed to her injuries. Investigations have revealed that she had sustained several injuries to her body. The adult male and female were arrested and taken into custody and are said to be assisting the New Providence Police. The Antigua and Barbuda government is indicating that it may have to impose more vaccine mandates. There is concern that the country may not reach herd immunity by year-end. Prime Minister Gaston Browne says more of the population needs to be vaccinated to achieve that goal.
I mean, currently we have about 52% of the population that is fully vaccinated and about 58% of the population at least would have had its first dose. But, you know, it's significantly better than most countries within the region, but I'm of the view that we can do far better. And what the unfortunate thing is that we have seen a reduction in the rate of vaccinations, which is of serious concern for us at this point. You know, we'd set a deadline for December 31st to achieve herd immunity, but certainly at the present rate of vaccinations, we will not achieve it. So, you know, we may have to introduce a few more mandates in order to increase the rate of vaccinations so that we can achieve herd immunity by the end of the year. I said before, we can't go into 2022, partially open and, you know, having a situation in which we have thousands of people unemployed. We have to fully reopen the country's economy, put our people back to work and return to normalcy as soon as possible. That is an absolute imperative. Again, as I said, we just can't stretch this thing any longer.
The Pan American Health Organization has given qualified support to the Barbados decision to ease travel restrictions for vaccinated travelers. PAHO is describing it as a good measure, as Barbados Today reports.
PAHO Director of Health Emergencies, Dr. Ciro Ugarte, however, warned that the easing restriction for travelers will come with risks.
It is important to highlight that the vaccinated persons, as Dr. Jarvis already mentioned, and we have been mentioning also several times, are better protected. Maybe not, will not completely eliminate the infection, but they are way more protected than the persons that are not vaccinated. And in that regard, allowing the persons who are vaccinated is a very good measure. But what the recommendation of WHO and also PAHO is not to restrict the essential travels of persons who are not vaccinated, because the vaccines are not widely available, unfortunately, and it is a very important measure. And also recognize that when you reduce the restrictions for travelers, you recognize that you are accepting a certain level of risk. So in the communities that are accepting or the countries that are accepting visitors, it is important to keep in mind the local transmission and also to strengthen their surveillance capacity.
The U.S. government has seen proof that at least some members of the group of American and Canadian missionaries kidnapped in Haiti last month are alive, according to a senior Biden administration official. Reuters reports the official who declined to be named did not give further details. U.S. officials have been spearheading the efforts to safely retrieve the missionaries who were on a trip organized by the Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries. The 16 Americans and one Canadian, including five children, were abducted after visiting an orphanage. Details about the law enforcement effort have been sparse since the October 16 attack. U.S. President Joe Biden is being briefed daily on the law enforcement effort, officials have said. A Haitian man identifying himself as the leader of the 400 Mawuzo gang, believed by security officials to have conducted the kidnapping, said in a video posted on YouTube last month that he was willing to kill these Americans if he did not get what he needed. The missionaries were not present in the video. Another Jamaican living overseas has risen to prominence. He is being given the chance to represent his homeland directly. Here is CVM News in Kingston.
United States President Joe Biden has nominated New York Assemblyman Nick Perry to serve as the first Jamaican-born ambassador to the nation. The 71-year-old KC Old Boy has served for 3 decades as an assemblyman in the New York State Legislature and is currently the Assistant Speaker of the New York State Assembly. Former Ambassador of Jamaica to the United Nations, Curtis Ward, says, "Even though the newly nominated ambassador is of Jamaican heritage, there are certain protocols which must be observed."
Any U.S. ambassador, whether that individual such as Mr. Perry is a Jamaican national or otherwise, is first and foremost representing the interests of the United States government. Granted, because of his familiarity and his cultural ties to Jamaica, he is in a very good position to advance those interests, those programs, those issues that are mutual interests to both Jamaica and the United States.
Ambassador Ward says Perry is more than qualified for his nominated position.
Quite proud of the fact that yet another Jamaican has excelled in his field here in the United States, that the U.S. government would recognize his worth and appoint him to a high position such as ambassador.
Mr. Ward expressed joy at Perry's nomination.
He is qualified and far more qualified than many of the previous ambassadors who have been political appointees.
The U.S. Embassy has been without a top diplomat since Ambassador Donald Tapia demitted office earlier this year. Lakay Magawan for CVM Live.
A Grenadian citizen by descent, Inga O'Neill, has been appointed civil court judge in Kings County, Brooklyn, New York. GBN News has that story.
Anything that you want in life does not always come easily. And, you know, to all the people who may be listening, and especially the young boys and girls who are listening out there in the Caribbean, you know, I didn't imagine when I was growing up that this is where I would be. But I think it's important to remember and to know that you can make a difference in your life and in your community, wherever you are.
Miss Inga O'Neill was born in Antigua but raised in Grenada by both her parents, who are Grenadians. She attended the St. Joseph's Convent, St. George, and the Grenada National College before migrating to the United States. Being the first lawyer in her family, O'Neill has been an attorney for the past 19 years. O'Neill won the primary election in New York back in June, having come up against two opponents. She went unopposed in the general elections and was officially elected judge of the Kings County Civil Court on Tuesday. In an exclusive with GBN, she speaks of her journey, which she says was not quite easy.
What gave me the courage to take the steps at this time, I didn't, you know, start off being a lawyer thinking that I would want to be a judge. It's something that developed over time while I was working in the court system, and I saw how I can make a difference in someone's life by just helping people get to a resolution in their case, whether it was through trials that I was assisting the judge with, or whether it was through helping them get to a settlement in their case. So once I started working in the courts and I realized how I can make an impact in someone's life by being a judge, that sparked the interest in me to that this is something that I would want to do.
The newly appointed judge speaks of challenges she encountered as she advanced in her career. She says what kept her grounded is the values her Grenadian parents taught her.
Being a woman, sometimes I'm sure women across the world face this, where sometimes there's what's called the imposter syndrome, where you are qualified to do the job, you have the skill set, but sometimes you doubt yourself, or you're made to feel that you have to work twice as hard to be able to have that respect from others. And of course, there's also sometimes racial issues that come into play. You know, one thing that I credit going to school and growing up in the Caribbean and the things that my parents taught me is to always believe in yourself.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, November 8th. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.